Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Leo Effects. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Tonight, I'm joined by a special guest. I'm excited to talk to him. He's got a lot of cool stuff going on, especially with his band, which I know some things about, but he's going to shed some light on that, and hopefully you all will go check this out. But my guest for this evening is Mr. John Stewart. How are you?
Good. How you doing? Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you as well. I'm doing very, very good. Today was a splendid day.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, let's just dive right into it, shall we?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Cool. So one of the more interesting points that brings you to the show is you have a band called Juliana. Is that right?
Yes.
All right, cool. So what is that all about?
Well, it's a band I formed. I was writing a lot of country stuff, but I wanted to start writing some Latin music. I didn't have a Latin singer, so I came across a singer that sent me an audition tape, and then she's not Latin, she's 100% Jewish, and we were in the studio, and she said she spoke fluent Spanish, and I'm like, really? Can you sing it? She said, yeah. So I played her something that I had written. And she sang it, and it was beautiful. So that was the start of that whole thing there. And since then we've written 7 songs, 4 already recorded.
Wow. And,
we got to record. So it's going very fast. And she's awesome. She's got a great voice. You would never know she's not Spanish. You know, I have some Latin friends here in Florida, and I send them the songs, and I love them. And I had no idea. But, you know, no one in the band is Latin.
No one at all is Latin. Oh wow. What made you decide to, I mean, you said you were doing country stuff and then you decided to go the route of a Latin style. What brought that on?
Well, the country stuff's so commercialized now. Nashville's not what it used to be, you know, and I just had all these rhythms and melodies in my head, you know, when I pick up the guitar, it just come out. So I just figured I'd give it a shot, and it's either going to turn out horrible, you know, I mean, turn out okay, you know.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Do you have like an album coming out soon, or have you just been working on like singles? Or
we're working on mostly singles now. We're in the process of talking to a label that may want to put out an EP, but right now we're just releasing singles. You know, we have a couple, one coming out tomorrow. On the second, Spotify and all the platforms, we have one already out, but we have all 4 of them that we recorded on our website. They're already there, you know.
Right.
And like I said, we have 3 more that we've written, but we haven't recorded yet.
Cool. Is that something that's going to be happening like pretty soon, or is that like way down the road after we're all out of lockdown and quarantine, or?
What are we talking about, the recording?
Yeah.
Oh, we've already recorded 4. I just haven't gotten a chance to get in the studio. I had some dental surgery last week, so I'll take a week or 2 off in the studio to heal up.
Okay.
So as soon as maybe next week, we'll start laying them down, the new ones.
Cool. Do you have any kind of inspiration that you all draw from when you're recording or when you're writing the music?
I don't. When I write the music and arrange the music and come up with some of the melodies, Madeline writes all the lyrics, obviously, because I don't even speak Spanish.
Okay.
She works on the melodies with me. She has inspiration. I mean, her lyrics are not, you know, they're soulful, they're meaning, they're not popcorn, bubblegum stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pop music. The lyrics are not pop, for sure. Me, I just pick up the guitar, whenever it comes out, you know? And I don't really have any inspiration other than what's obviously inside of me already, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I'm not thinking of anything. It just comes out, and then she'll take it from there. I'll send a recording of the arrangement to her, and then she'll come up with the lyrics. And
gotcha.
When we rehearse on Saturday, she'll bring up what she has, you know?
And you rehearse every Saturday, or just when everybody can?
Yeah, we try to every Saturday. Okay. If we're going to get ready to do a show and things up and up, we'll bump up the rehearsals to couple times a week, but for now it's just Saturday because we're just, like I say, writing and recording, so there's nothing open yet to go play, so it's...
Yeah. Soon, hopefully. What was it that made you want to get into music in the first place?
I was always playing guitar since I was 10 years old, so...
Oh, wow.
I can't sing at all. I'm horrible, but I always played, you know? Always put, you know, songs together, chords together, progressions, and I had, you know, when I was doing my movie career, I didn't have time to have a band. I was never in a band or anything like that. But I got a chance to write a song for a movie once, and that was kind of the start of it. I met a singer, Kristen McNamara, that I wrote some stuff for her, and she was touring with Big and Rich, make a long story short, so we started opening for them, and then that kind of started the career then. And she went on to American Idol, and I kind of put an end to the touring because she was doing a TV show. So, but I just kept on going, and I kept writing a lot of country. I had another band in LA. We did the LA circuit, you know, the Whiskey a Go-Go, all those clubs on Sunset with the country music. And then when I moved to Florida, that's when I started writing more Latin stuff, and that's when I met Madeline.
And I guess that makes sense, being in Florida. That is a pretty heavy influence down there.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's wild. It's crazy. And, you know, you kind of touched on it, talking about your movie career. You've had quite the distinction there as well. You have a whole movie made after you.
Yeah, Fall Guy. I did stunts for 40 years, I guess.
Wow.
Before I started directing. A producer friend of mine's dad talked me into writing a script about my life story, blah, blah, blah. Make a long story short. So I did that, and one of the actors from Power Rangers played me in it, but they didn't recreate any of the stunts. We wrote the script around the stunts I've already done in the past and shot all the lead-up scenes with the actors. So when it comes time to do the stunt, it was actually the real stunt I did for that movie. They didn't recreate anything.
Oh, okay.
So it was really real, you know, all the stuff you see is what you see, what you got. We weren't using CGI in those days or anything like that. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. What's the wildest stunt you ever did?
I don't know. There's a bunch of them. I had a crazy few years there. I've done, like, you know, I did a 16-story high fall on fire on a Sharon Stone movie called Steel. Double and Jonathan Banks, where Sharon shoots me with a grenade launcher, catches me on fire, and I go off the building. That was a pretty good one. There's just been a ton of stuff. I can't really pick just one, you know?
Right, okay.
The most wildest one for me is we had a swim down the Kern River in California, which is Class 5 rapids. And you have no control over that. It's Mother Nature, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty spooky, jumping in there for the first time, going, what the hell's going to happen? You didn't know, you know?
Oh, man. How do you work up the nerve to do those kind of stunts?
You just, I think some guys are just born with it. They want to do it, you know what I mean? We take precautions and make it as safe as we possibly can. But, you know, we're not getting any credit. We're not in front of the camera. So, obviously, we like to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The money's good, yeah, but you grow up wanting to do stunts, you know. So, not every day, every year working, you're looking at something's going to kill you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A few times a year, you're looking at something's going to kill you. And there's a lot of days where it's, you know, kind of fun stuff, you know what I mean? But those are the ones that get you. You're not thinking about.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, how do you even think to start in a career like that? You just kind of growing up as a kid saying, oh, I like to jump my bike off of these ramps, you know, and it just one thing leads to another, and eventually you find yourself in a movie.
Well, basically, yeah, I grew up at 10. I wanted to be a stuntman, and back in those days, no one had, you know, the games that they have now, so everybody's out in the street jumping their bikes,
yeah,
blocks and all that crazy stuff. So I knew what I wanted to do since I was 10 years old, so I just was teaching myself stuff all throughout the years. And when I was 17, a friend of mine owned a movie theater, and he was having a grand opening. So I did a couple of gigs for the grand opening. lit myself on fire and then jumped through a plate glass window at a theater, and the news came down to cover it, you know. And there was a producer in town that was doing a Matt Dillon picture. This was in Boston, and he see me on the news, and he got my number from the news. He called me up the next day, asked me if I wanted to come work on the picture with him. And that was my first movie. And so I did a couple of films in Boston before moving to L.A. So that's how I got started, and, you know. Then when I moved to L.A., it wasn't very easy, you know, competing with a bunch of guys. It's a lot of family-oriented stunts, you know, a lot of who-you-know type of thing. And so it's pretty difficult, but, you know, it's like anything. If you keep at it, you know, sooner or later, you'll get what you're looking for, you know.
Yeah, just got to stick to your guns and keep trying.
Exactly.
Right. And you said that you got into directing. It was like one day you jumped out of a window and hit your head and said, you know what, I think I want to direct a movie rather than do these stunts.
Well, I did even hit my head. I had some concussions. But no, what it was back then, it was HBO was just coming out. They were doing a ton of movies, and a lot of directors didn't know how to shoot action. You know, and I spent a lot of time figuring out angles and stuff like that, and certain car mounts and stuff like that. So I was pretty good at it, you know. So they would give me the second unit to direct, which in a lot of films I was directing a lot of the movie because it was all action, you know. And then finally I got hurt, and I was healing, so I was sitting out in front of my house and I was writing a script. My next door neighbor, which I knew but not really well, name is Wolf. He's German, and he'd come over, hey, John, what are you doing? You know, because he'd say hi to me every day. Oh, I'm writing a script. And he goes, what's it about? Oh, it's an action movie. And he goes, well, you got it financed yet? And I'm like, oh, not yet. I'm just writing it, you know. He goes, we finished the script. I'll go get you the money to make the movie. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I've heard that before, you know. But he did. He mortgaged. He owns a Porsche dealership, and he mortgaged that. And he came back like a month later, and we got the money to make the movie, and we went down to Texas and we shot it. So it was holy the first cow. Movie ever directed. And that was in 1988. And the funny thing is, Alamo Drafthouse Theater is just Tim Leigh, someone showed it to him. They had this, it was called Action USA, and it had a little cult following for all these years, but no one really knew about it because it came out in 88 and it was forgotten about. So someone showed it to Tim Leigh, he was the owner of Drafthouse Movie Theaters. And he loved it. So he called me about 6 months ago. Said, hey, we want to take this movie and get out to the world. We're going to release a theatrical, redo another video release. So they did. And it came out last Sunday on demand. And November 6th, it goes throughout the country in the theaters, in this theater chain. And they got deals with Walmart and all the streaming services. So it's pretty cool that this movie we did in 88 is now resurrected, you know.
And that is cool.
Hopefully going to have a bigger following, yeah.
Yeah, and what was it called again?
It's called Action USA.
Action USA. I want to make sure anybody that's listening knows exactly what to go search, because I know I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah, right now it's, like I said, they just put it on demand at the Alamo Drafthouse Theaters, and then it will come out actually in the theaters November 6th.
Cool. Heck and yeah.
Just one little... we had everything in there, car chases, helicopters, you name it, it's in there. So it's kind of a no-brainer. Sit down, have some popcorn, enjoy. And it was no CGI back in those days, so it's, you know, it's the real stuff. We had some cool actors in it. Gregory Scott Cummings, where he's on Bosch now. Ross Hagen, Holt Cowell, some old-timers. Cameron Mitchell, Bill Smith. But we just grew up Texas. So if we made the movie in L.A., it wouldn't have turned out like it did. We went to Texas, Waco, Texas, and with a very small budget and 18 days to shoot it. But when I bought it, Universal screened it, thought I spent $4 million on it. It was nowhere near that.
Right. Now, had you thought about doing any of the stunts in the movie? Like, are you in the movie yourself?
I'm in like a cameo scene where we drive a car through a house and blows up, and I have a line there. But no, I was directing the movie, so I couldn't really do anything. I had to be behind the camera for insurance purposes.
Yeah.
But when the camera's moving, the POV shots, I'm doing all that driving. So, but technically I'm behind the camera, right? So they can't yell at me, you know.
Those lawyers meddle with everything.
Yeah, I had to step back and have responsibility in that. So I had a great team of stunt guys working with me though. So
yeah. Do you have any other movies like that you're kind of in the works on right now, or?
No, I've been basically, I have a Latin movie that I'm trying to put together with all this music I'm doing, like a coming of an age story, kind of like a Selena.
Yeah.
That I'm kind of working on with a producer. I directed Power Rangers too, the TV show, and one of the producers, Ronnie Hadad, I'm still friends with today. So we talked about taking all this music we're doing, which is the most expensive part of doing a musical, music movie is the music. So we have all that. We're talking about doing kind of a coming of age Latin story, but we're just in the very beginning of that.
Wow. Yeah, that was another thing that was brought to my attention was that you directed on the Power Rangers. And I was going to ask you, like, with, you know, having the background of a stuntman and directing as well, like, did that help you with your direction and kind of guiding those actors doing those crazy stunts and things?
Yeah, well, that definitely helps, especially doing like Action USA when we had 3 weeks to do a huge action movie. I was fast at directing action, so that 100% that helped. Power Rangers, I don't know karate at all. I can take a punch, but I brought in Isaac Florentine, was the original choreographer for karate scenes. He's a great guy, a great director also. Now he's directing too. Mm-hmm. And then I brought in Jeff Pruitt, who's a friend of mine. And we started introducing more of the wire gags you've seen on Power Rangers and stuff like that. Jeff's done a lot. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He did all those things. He's an incredible martial artist. So we had two really good fight choreographers on the movie.
Wow.
On the show, rather.
Right.
And we'd have a second unit. A lot of times I would do the acting scenes and then would have the stunt guys in costumes out at Lake Castaic. And Jeff would be doing a lot of just the fight stuff, you know, and I'd be working with the actors on the stage.
Okay, that's cool, though. I mean, dealing with the actors and helping them get to where they need to be, like, that's a huge part of being a director.
Yeah, and we incorporate them in the fights, too, a lot of the fights, because they knew karate, too. So a lot of fights they would do, but when it was in the costumes, it was the stunt people. So right. That would be two units. Remember, I think I shot three episodes at the same time every week. I shot three episodes. So we had a lot to shoot. So we needed a second unit doing the stuff where the putties or they're in costume and the monsters or when the Rangers were in costume. That was Jeff was off doing that kind of stuff, fight stuff while I was dealing with the actors on the stage. Because if not, we would never make the schedule, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, from watching the show when I was a kid growing up, and just knowing and remembering what I do from that, you know, you had to have done a pretty good job because it was pretty believable. And I never would have guessed that you didn't know karate. And just like I never would have guessed that you didn't know how to speak Spanish with how Juliana sounds. So, you know, I've been listening to the stuff on YouTube that I was able to just kind of scrounge up and. It's really good music.
Oh, thanks. I hope you listen to it with some good speakers because we have a great studio down here and an engineer. So it's really, we're not doing anything with computers. It's all real musicians, you know, real percussions.
Yeah.
And so it really does sound good when you listen to it with some good speakers. You can hear the bass and the percussions and stuff. So. I hope you get a chance to listen to it through a good sound, not your phone, you know what I mean?
Right. No, I did. I listened on my computer, and it really does. It sounds amazing. And you can definitely tell that you're using actual instruments and that you care about what you do.
Right, yeah. That was the thing when we started this, and while the engineer likes working on this, because we're not taking the cheap way out, you know, where having live players play it, and that's what we want to do, you know?
Yeah.
And I think for that kind of music, you need to, because there's so many, like, it would take us 4 or 5 hours just to do a drum session with all the percussions and, you know, the elements we have just to put that together. It takes a long time, so.
Totally worth it, though.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Chris Madden's there. She's great. You'd love her. she's really a good singer. I mean, her voice is just soothing, you know.
Yeah.
And it just kind of fits. It's been really fast. We didn't start this too long ago. It's only been a few months.
Oh yeah, that it is quick.
Yeah, it's very quick. You know, I hope the world opens up so we can go tour, you know.
Oh, that would be amazing. That would be really cool to see.
Yeah, it'd be fun playing this stuff in front of a live audience.
Yeah. Well, with these last few moments of the show, do you have any kind of social medias or websites that you want to tell the listeners to head to?
We have all the Instagrams and the Facebooks and all that, but the easiest way to get all of them is just go to the website. That has the songs you can download, and they're free. Has the videos, it has the links to all social media. And that's julianamusic.com, so it's pretty simple.
Yeah, I mean, that simplicity is key. It's easy to find. I'm going to provide a link for it as well so that people can just click and go.
Cool, I appreciate it. Yeah, we want to get it out there and hope people like it, you know?
Absolutely, and I think they will. It really is a good, just a nice beat, good melody. The instruments are fantastic. The singing is great. Like, everything about it is just, man, I can't say enough good things.
Oh, I appreciate the kind words. Yeah, it's good dance music, and once you want to get up and feel good and dance, you know what I mean?
It really does. It feel good music. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Like, yes. Yes.
I grew up on rock and roll, so I try and put a little of that guitar in there, you know, a little of that flavor in there, so it's not too popish, but, you know, it's working so far.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Well, John, I want to say thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciated talking to you. You're a fun guy. You got lots of good stories. And I know this was kind of short, but, man, I really want to get word of Juliana out there for you. So thank you for coming.
I really appreciate it. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay in touch. And when you got more projects, you'll have to let me know.
Sure, we will, for sure.
Yeah. And thank you to all the listeners who tuned in to check this out. Thank you all very much. Without beautiful people like you, I would not be doing this show. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we will see you all next time.
Take it easy.